Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Nirmal Malaiklu, your guest host for today. What I'm about to say will probably not help with the Monday blues. The U.S. organization that monitors America's power grid is warning that threats to the system, which we all rely on every day, are actually increasing from both foreign adversaries and domestic terrorists. That's obviously not ideal, and things might only get worse, actually, as election season ramps up. Regular listeners of this podcast know that physical threats against the grid have seen a sharp uptick in recent years, and this warning from NERC only adds to that tension. Physical threats have continued their steady rise, while cyber threats are growing exponentially day by day. So today, I spoke with Politico's Catherine Morehouse to understand how serious these threats are and what happens if something does go wrong. Are we actually prepared? It's Monday, April 8th.
So the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, which is essentially the main authority for ensuring the U.S. grid keeps the lights on, in their latest update, they described really a surge in cybersecurity breaches and vulnerabilities, as well as a continued uptick in physical threats and actual incidents against critical grid infrastructure. So just to throw some numbers out there, from 2023 to 2022, the National Institute of Science and Technology recorded a jump of about 2,000 system vulnerabilities, and that's a pace of about 60 additional threats per day, just to put it in perspective, and that's for cybersecurity. And on the physical security side, utilities reported more than 2,800 physical security threats to NERC in 2023. That's a jump of more than 1,000 from the previous year. The power grid is an increasingly attractive target, and that's something we obviously rely on every day, so it's a scary target as well.
Yeah, that is a pretty scary picture. I mean, let's just tease it out. What do you mean first by physical security threats? And how does the election season, according to NERC, actually contribute to those threats?
Yeah, it's a great question because physical threats and physical attacks against grid infrastructure can really include a wide variety of buckets. It can mean anything from theft at local power stations, or it can mean kind of more serious ballistic damage. And we've seen some of those damages, essentially firing guns at critical infrastructure and in some cases hitting a piece of infrastructure that can cause serious consequences, even blackouts to the power grid. So you are talking about a wide bucket of incidents here. And on the election front, what NERC and other security experts and researchers have found is that there does appear to be a correlation between election years and a rise in these kinds of incidents. So you see, unfortunately, a lot of interest from extremists, including neo-Nazis and white nationalists. Those are folks who have been caught and their plots thwarted in attempts to carry out some of these plots. You see those groups really increasingly interested in bringing down parts of the system. And unfortunately, that's in part because there's a lot of information out there, both on why this could benefit a certain ideology and forward a certain way of thinking, and about how to actually go about doing it. So it's a combination of access to information and the ability to share that information fairly easily on encrypted platforms, for instance, as well as a rise in the groups and people who want to see some part of the country or some group of people harmed.
Yeah, and the other bucket you mentioned earlier is cybersecurity threats. We're obviously seeing a couple different conflicts abroad, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Israel, Hamas. How are those geopolitical conflicts contributing to cybersecurity threats, according to NERC?
So cybersecurity has definitely been a concern for years now. But even with that said, this year's jump is clearly notable. It was described by NERC itself as dramatic. What NERC said is that geopolitical turmoil from the Israeli-Hamas conflict and the ongoing Russian-Ukrainian war, as you mentioned, alongside threats that we've already faced from adversaries in China, North Korea, and Iran, have really contributed to that really increased and elevated threat landscape. And it's hard to calculate exactly how many attacks, but what NERC does is record the number of security weaknesses in the power system, and they've seen a significant jump of about 2,000 over a year in the system. And there have been a couple of high-profile breaches in recent years. Colonial Pipeline is still the most significant breach for energy. That was a cyber attack that shut down a major East Coast pipeline. And there have been other instances with less direct impacts on the power sector. The energy department was hit by a mass cyber attack through vulnerable software last year. But that just kind of paints a picture of how widespread these breaches are and these vulnerabilities, and that it's an ongoing concern as people continue to use different kinds of software.
Okay, so not to be too dark or alarmist here, but I do want to get into the stakes. I mean, what is the likelihood of something actually going wrong and actually having this like devastating impact on the power system? And are we even prepared for that?
In the case of physical attacks, the success rate of these attempts to literally go up to a substation and shoot it down and hit the exact right spot and lead to cascading outages and that kind of thing, that success rate is really low. NERC says about 3% of these attacks have any impact at all on the grid. And I'd imagine it's an even smaller number that really see a significant amount of customers impacted, especially for a long period of time. But we know that in cases where these attacks are successful, those impacts can be devastating, of course. The most damaging attack in recent years was Moore County, North Carolina. 45,000 people went without power for days, and at least one woman lost her life as a direct result because she relied on medical equipment that relied on the electricity grid. That's not even to mention the economic and other kinds of damage that these kinds of events can trigger. And on cybersecurity, to hear NERC and other experts say it, in some ways, it's maybe an even scarier picture, because what they and other grid experts say is that we know our adversaries absolutely have the capability of creating tremendous harm through cyber attacks. And the bigger question there is what would trigger them to engage in that kind of attack. And that's harder to say. I'm certainly not a national security expert, but there are grid and security experts out there who believe it's less a matter of if and more a matter of when and at what scope. And in terms of whether we're prepared, it certainly depends on who you ask. I think utilities, for the most part, feel pretty confident in their physical security. And you hear NERC say similar things. On the cybersecurity front, it seems like there's just a lot more unknown variables there. But then if you talk to some independent experts and other folks who have worked in cybersecurity and worked in physical security and worked for the federal government, they really believe that there isn't adequate attention paid to these kinds of attacks. And they believe that in some ways the grid is, in some ways, again, it really is a matter of when, not if, for when something really devastating happens.
Also, speaking of America's power grid, the 4.8 magnitude earthquake that hit parts of the East Coast on Friday seemingly did not damage any major power grid infrastructure. Regional grid operators from New England to New Jersey reported no immediate impacts, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and major nuclear power plant owners on the East Coast also told Politico there were no damages reported as of Friday afternoon. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Nirmal Malaikul, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.